Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
This is probably the most important show I am going to do all year, so listen closely. I have two young doctors with me, Dr. Joe Weatherly and Dr. Andrew Bilt. They've created a website called questioningmedicine.com, and we're going to talk today about prostate screening. Many of you may or may not be aware that most professional organizations are actually recommending against routine prostate cancer screening, but yet every doctor is still doing it. Patients are still asking for it. They want this PSA test, even though it's a crappy test, and we are doing more harm than good by checking guys' prostates. And I'll just editorialize for a second here. I think that we would get more men into the medical system and find many more diseases and potentially save their lives if we told them, we're not going to check your prostate. So guys, welcome to the show. And let's start with Joe. Joe, what are the numbers? What are the numbers? Just throw some statistics out there to show how ridiculous this test is.
Well, some of the numbers are 1 in 1,000 men screened over a decade. They're screened annually with the PSA, will have a mortality benefit. That means that for 1,000 men to be seen in their doctor's office, and I'm just going to go to the next level and have that anxiety of the test, mm-hmm, coming back positive, or the actual physical exam of the prostate, all the things that are going along with that, 1,000 men have to do that for 10 years in order for one to have a mortality benefit.
That's an impressive number in terms of the lack of impressiveness. Can you give me some other disease states that screening is actually of more benefit? Do you know any of the numbers, let's say, for a pap smear or for a colonoscopy or any other screening test we do? I got to believe it's better than 1 in 1,000.
One of the simple things that I, off the top of my head, because it's one of the better evidence points that I have that I, every day I discuss with patients, is PPIs. And I know that that's not screening, but it used to be for conditions like Barrett's esophagus. And it's closer to 2,000. You need to treat in order to have some kind of a benefit, even though every other patient you treat with a PPI will have symptom benefit. And then you, mm-hmm, get to numbers like 1 in 1,800 for mammography over 10 years will have a mortality benefit.
So we have these guidelines now that are saying don't do it, yet we're still doing it. Why the disconnect? Are we afraid of getting sued? Do we enjoy the power struggle of shoving our finger up guys' butts? What is it?
So, this is Andrew, and I think that's an excellent question. And there's a recent piece in JAMA Internal Medicine that asked people, you know, are you getting your prostate checked? And in some states, it was as high as 45 to 50%, which is, you know, literally 1 in every 2 men. And I actually wrote this piece for MedPage today. And I've had physicians email me saying, you know, the PSA is a great test. The digital rectal exam is an excellent test. And I've picked up cancers before. And they're probably right, and they probably have. But what they're not realizing, I guess, or what's getting left out is that for every 1 in 1,000 patients you save, 220 are having a positive result. You know, 110 are undergoing further workup. And then of those, 50 are having some kind of side effect from this further workup. So sexual dysfunction, urinary incontinence, infection, whatever it may
be. You're being kind. You say, listen, we're causing more harm. We're messing with your erections, and you're going to be peeing in a diaper because of this test we did on you, which caused all this unnecessary testing. And it's a hard conversation to have because it takes a long time, and it's easier to just do the exam and get it over with. What do you say to that?
I think that's
anyone. Bueller.
I think that is part of the the belief. It's similar to the antibiotics. It's easier to write the script than to have the conversation, but I think that's where we as physicians need to educate our patients, and then, you know, people like yourself who can, or as we're trying to do, get on to your stage and broadcast out to even the patients, so the patients become more informed about what their options are and how this isn't really benefiting them.
So let's talk numbers again. What age is appropriate? What is there an age where I should be checking their prostate? Is it over 65, or should I never be doing this unless they have a physical complaint or I'm thinking they've got prostate cancer?
Yeah, Dr. Caswell, this is Joe again. I think that's a great question because, again, going back to how can we marginalize the amount of pain associated with this condition, because there, unfortunately, there are people that get prostate cancer. Our therapies aren't great at making a difference. Otherwise, I think that this screening would be way more reasonable. But probably the biggest target is going to be that people at the highest risk for prostate cancer, and at the same time, young enough to benefit from it. Benefit mm-hmm. from, yeah, I'm peeing in a diaper. Yes, I can't have an erection. Yes, I get infections and I have to go to the hospital that I would never have had to have. But I no longer have the risk of dying in the next 10 years of prostate cancer. So if we say people probably around 55 to 69, which is the American Urological Association recommendation for those people should probably be screened. Most of the highest highest quality studies had people from 55 up to, all the way up to 74. And I think that's probably a reasonable place to start the discussion. But then if they have a family history of prostate cancer at a young age, I think that you could combine both of those and say that's probably the highest yield people to say, okay, maybe we'll screen you at 60 because your father died of prostate cancer at 68 or 70. Let's start, if you would like to start, that's probably a reasonable place to start.
The problem I see is that the one person I don't check who goes on to develop a prostate cancer who gets diagnosed later and has some terrible outcome, I'm going to get sued, even though it's going to be one out of whatever, 10,000 people. That, I think, drives a lot of behavior still, that we're afraid of these lawsuits for failure to diagnose, and so we're doing this test defensively when, in fact, it's still causing more harm than good. So tomorrow, when I go into my office, I want you guys to go out on a line now and say, listen, Dr. Caswell, don't check anybody's prostate unless their dad died young or they are 65 years old. Or 60, what, you know, pick an age, and I want you to, you know, commit to it. What's that age? Is it 50? Is it 55? Is it 60? I need a number.
All
help
right,
me,
so
guys.
Probably 60 then, because the benefits of treating with a life expectancy that's 10 to 15 years is probably not there. So they have to have it, say, at least have 15-year life benefit or life expectancy to benefit, and unfortunately our life expectancy is still in the 70s, so if you wait much past 65, it's probably a wash either way. But yeah, I think that's probably a very targetable age. And again, that's the way to prevent getting sued. I think it's been proven over and over again, not test, not do test, but rather have the discussion with your patient, give them the best available evidence, and then let them make the decision. If you tell him, look, you could die from prostate cancer, well, I could potentially stop that if I treat 1,000, or if I screen 1,000 men every year for 10 years, one person will benefit from it. The rest of you will not be benefit, and may likely, some of you will be harmed. And he says,
excellent.
No thanks, doc. All you got to do is write that down.
Exactly. So you guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. We were talking to Dr. Bilt and Dr. Where'd it go? Weatherly? Weatherby? And their website is questioningmedicine.com. I'm Dr. Larry Caswell, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends, and stay well.